deploy over capacity. I can achieve maximum velocity.
Hey, you are listening to episode 3 of New Sound Wave. It's the podcast where I don't even want to bother explaining it this week. Hey, I'm Brian Kilby. We've actually been sitting here trying to figure out what we want to talk about. Not much is going on this week. So with that, I'm going to pass it off to JD. Hey, JD, how's it going?
It's going excellent, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic.
Woohoo! I'm great, too. I'm on hydrocodone. So.
Oh, yeah. You are flying high today. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
And with me this week, I have also XV. Hey, XV, that's your cue.
I'm not high, sorry.
Okay.
Can you not hear me this time?
I can hear you. It's just that I was hoping you were high. Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not high.
Beside me, I have Chris Triplett, who was huffing some glue prior to the show. So, Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks. With the glue. Yeah. I don't get it, but thanks.
You're not funny, Chris.
I know.
I'm cutting Chris's name.
Just cut it off.
No, okay. And John DeLune is here from Radio Free Cybertron. So we've literally been sitting here for like the last 30 minutes doing show
prep.
We've already had a show. It's been great, but we have no clue what we're going to talk about. This week, a couple of things have happened. News about DC Entertainment, which I consider non-news, entirely non-news. Chris disagrees with me. And the 10th anniversary of the Dreamcast was this week. And to me, that's pretty big, but I mean, what else is there to talk about? So...
Yeah.
Let's start things off with the Dreamcast, because I know that's what's most important in the hearts and minds of the people here. So, Chris, why don't you take that off?
Ooh, Dreamcast. Maybe the best system ever made. I really love that system.
Substantiate that.
Well, just to start off, how many of you guys, have you guys played the Dreamcast, or did you maybe ever own one?
Owned four. I own two working ones now.
Wow.
I have a Dreamcast.
Cool.
I bought one on launch day.
Mine's hooked up right now.
Yeah, launch day here as well. Yeah, mine. Yeah. I have two hooked up. I have one in the main cabinet and one on the primary television.
Yeah, I don't think I got it on launch day. I think I got it a little while later. But yeah, I mean, it's just
you were too high at that point to remember.
Yeah, exactly. but
he was
just to talk about why I really like the Dreamcast. It's just it was just kind of a very different kind of system. I mean, just with like. For example, like all the peripherals that just you could buy for this system, like you guys remember, like the VMU. I mean, this crazy little thing that's trying to be a Tamagotchi pet, virtual pet thing, and it's also a memory card, and it was a Sega system. It was something that was going to be different, but it kind of didn't turn out to be a big popular system. But kind of it's stayed with people. It's got this cult following, and I'm dying here. So, Brian,
With the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast was basically a Hail Mary pass that Sega tried to throw because Sega had been floundering for the last several years. They lost a lot of money on the 32X. The Sega CD wasn't the big hit that they wanted it to be. And the Sega Saturn was an almost complete failure in America. So they were really trying to fire on all barrels. With the Dreamcast, it was not the first system, it was the second system to have four ports for gameplay, for players. You had the VMU, which in this really lame article that GamePro wrote this week, I don't know why I was looking at GamePro, I was really digging for material. They said that was the biggest and best aspect of the Dreamcast, and I totally
really?
Disagree. Yeah, I disagree
yeah,
with
that. That's kind of stupid.
But it was a very powerful piece of hardware when it came out. Of course, remember, it came out a year before the PlayStation 2 did.
Right.
So it really was head and shoulders above anything else that was out. And really, it took the PlayStation 2 a couple years to really look as good as the Dreamcast did. Of course, the Dreamcast is easier to program for.
Right.
Because of the architecture. The original launch titles for the game, for the system, were great. You had Soul Calibur, which was maybe the best launch game.
I would say it's arguably the best game for the console, if you ask me.
It stands the test of time better than, say, Sonic Adventure, another launch title did. I was playing Sonic Adventure yesterday to sort of commemorate the launch of the Dreamcast, and I really want to forgive its pacing problems. I mean, Sonic Adventure is about speed. Sonic is about speed. But when you play that game, it starts out, it's like a five-minute cutscene, and then you're in the middle of the city, and you're fighting the Chaos God, the big puddle of water. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, not really an enjoyable fight, because he's just this thing, it's not much taller than you are, that you have to bounce and hit on the head. Then you go to the next scene, which it's Sonic poolside, which is where the game should have started. But you watch Tails crash. Then you get up, and the music starts like you're going to start running. Of course, then you walk off from the poolside, and then it has to load, and then you start running. The pacing on the game is terrible, but when the game is good, it's great. The sense of speed is fantastic. The gameplay is great. But, of course, then you have the city stages, and the game, like I said, just has very poor pacing.
Right.
But it was Sega trying to redeem themselves for years of, admitted failure. And I really think they did a great job. Sega did a pretty good job of overcoming the sense that Sega was a floundering brand. But, I mean, they were coming up against what was probably the most anticipated console in the history of consoles, which is the Sony PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I mean, I specifically remember when the Dreamcast came out, people actually, you'll like hear people, everybody saying that the reason why the Dreamcast didn't succeed was that everybody was waiting for a PS2 to come out. But I specifically remember people actually saying that. It's like, oh, I don't want this. I can wait.
Of course.
And like, PS2 is going to be out in like less than a year, and it's going to be awesome because Sony's told me it's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, the emotion engine is going to, like, Saddam Hussein is going to buy hundreds of these, and he's going to run this as his network. I mean, people thought that the PlayStation 2 is the most powerful console that would ever come out, and while it was absolutely powerful, the emotion engine was mostly, it was basically blast processing. It was mostly just, you know, marketing.
One thing I want to talk about is how ahead of the time that Dreamcast was. Like, say for example, it's as far as a console and having it actually built into the console. I think it's the first console to go online, and I mean,
it's not the first console to go online.
Having it built into it for like a game console,
probably
not computers.
What do you guys think? I mean, what do you remember about the launch of the Dreamcast? What do you remember as its most important aspects?
I never had a Dreamcast. I think I worked at Toys R Us around the time that they were coming out, but I don't know. I think I remember more of being on the side of being sort of underwhelmed at the time that it came out.
Heathen.
Well, I mean, I was a PlayStation guy by that time. I had a PlayStation 1, and my intention had been to get a PlayStation 2, and I mean, and I guess I can understand the cult following. I mean, where every system has a cult following, right? But, I mean, on the other hand, Sony always suffers from early adoption being a problem because of the way that their marketing strategy works. I don't know. I don't want to be contrarian because it's a celebration of the Dreamcast 10th anniversary. But on the other hand, 10 years later, the PlayStation 2 is still a high-selling system. So,
and it's still crap.
Know. No, I wouldn't say it's crap.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's still a great system.
It's a pretty good system for $99.
Exactly.
I wouldn't pay $99. Exactly.
You'd rather pay like $300 for it.
It's a good system for $99. Nobody's developing good games for it anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I wanted to go out and buy a good system for like $50, I would get one of those systems that plays NES, SNES, and Genesis games, because that's a great deal for $50.
Yeah.
So, John, you bought one on launch day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, I remember to your point about this was kind of Sega's last shot and kind of redeeming itself in terms of consoles and designing them, marketing them, just making them work financially. I think, looking back, I kind of see it as the Dreamcast didn't, like, lose the war so much as the others won it. You know, PlayStation 2... it was going to win. I mean, they did. It was one of those things where Sony did everything right.
It was predestined.
And Sega did everything, I think, as well as they probably could in the position they were in. And it just worked out that, you know, I mean, nobody was going to beat the PlayStation 2. And the Dreamcast, you know, doesn't have that many glaring flaws. I think that's why people like it so much, is because it's this really good, solid system that it did everything it tried to do. It did it, and it did everything pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just ended up, you know, being second. And there's really no shame in that. It's just, well, it was a shame
fourth.
Because for Sega, that was it. You know, and that was it.
As Chris pointed out earlier, I mean, it was really way ahead of its time. I mean, online, out of the box.
Yeah.
I mean, the Saturn.
You need dial-up, but still, for that time.
They released an Ethernet adapter for it, which is kind of hard to come by now. The Saturn eventually had online capabilities, but you were able to interact with the game by voice. C-Man, you had that.
Yeah, I had C-Man. That was a pretty cool game.
Yeah, I mean, the execution may not have been fabulous, but I mean...
But it was different, what I liked.
It was different.
I liked that they took a chance on just crazy different... Like, you know, Shenmue, I mean, this is a game that isn't gonna really sell, but they did it. And
yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a game. Samba de Mi Amigo had...
I never played that.
Had, That was ahead of the game as far as the rhythm games go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Shenmue was ambitious game.
It's a good idea. I mean, I thought it was a good idea of a game. It's just that, like you said, Sega was, I think, just way too ambitious with it. I mean, we never got the other chapters in it, and I don't think we ever will, actually.
So I mean, I never played it that much. Would you say that the spiritual successor to that game was something sort of like Grand Theft Auto, but Grand Theft Auto gives you more freedom and leeway in what you do?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, because except for with Shenmue, you're, you know, of course not, you know, killing people or doing
the way you played it.
Yeah, the way I played it.
I dodged those boxes, and I popped a cap and some cracker's head.
Yeah.
Okay, that was lame.
Yeah. But
I can admit it.
Going back, let's see, that would have been probably 2000, I think, when that came out. It wasn't first year, was it?
No, it wasn't first year. It was 2000, 2001.
Yeah, because the system was done by, like, January 2001, wasn't it?
Oh, no, it wasn't dead. I don't think they officially stopped making it until, like, March of 2003.
Oh, I thought it was, like, as far as, like, 2 years
ago. The last Dreamcast to ship was supposed to have been gold-plated. I don't think anyone ever found that.
Really?
Yeah, that was, that's sort of like a lost treasure still sitting out there.
So it's not, like, been eBay?
It's never been discovered unless someone discovered it and said, "What's wrong with my Dreamcast?"
But yeah,
probably still in box holding papers down somewhere.
Probably.
But one thing that was actually a pretty good idea with Dreamcast was there was, you know, this was back in the day when the consoles would have a much longer release window between Japanese release and like US release.
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
Months and months and months.
So like when the system came out in Japan, I think there was like Godzilla game or something and something else on it, and I think the game launch games for that launch period were terrible. And so there's like maybe like a year difference between the Japanese and like the US launch, and by the time US came, I would honestly say Dreamcast had probably the greatest launch of games, I think, of any console.
Yeah, total selection, yeah.
Because, I mean, like you were saying, Sonic Adventure, despite its flaws, I think it's a good game. Soul Calibur, it's still easily playable today, 10 years later.
I've played it on my Xbox 360 recently, and I played it on the Dreamcast yesterday.
You had NFL 2K, I think NBA 2K came out on launch, too. You had these, I mean, you just had everything. I mean, it was a great launch. It's not like the PS2, which... What came out on PS2 is like a
Tekken Tag Tournament Ridge Racer 5,
Tekken 3, and a kind of new sequel.
I think three Namco games came out. Ridge Racer 5 did, which I bought.
I think like a Gradius game came out.
Tekken Tag Tournament, MotoGP or something.
I mean, it was a pretty pitiful.
Yeah, it was
launch
a pitiful
for
launch.
PS2, and I was kind of, and that's just the crazy thing. You know, people waited.
My brother bought three on launch day.
Yeah, people waited like a year for this system, and then walked out for it. Nothing. What are the people on Dreamcast playing? They're playing Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
They're playing probably Crazy Taxi by this point.
Soul Calibur 1 is more playable than Soul Calibur 2 on the Dreamcast. I mean, on the PS2 is.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, I mean, but it, you know, I come back to it's about. It's not necessarily about what the system can do when it comes out, but what it has the capability to do. I mean, one of the things that I think made the PS2 so attractive at the time, and maybe killed the Dreamcast was that backwards compatibility feature, and that was really a revolutionary feature that was going to be on the PlayStation 2.
I mean, that feature helped sell the Genesis, but nobody did it. It helped sell the PlayStation 2, but nobody really did it. And it helped sell the PS3, the PS3, and now nobody can do it. So,
Initially, and they took, now they've taken it out. But
it's not a big. It's for most people that is not a big issue. For me, it is for a very specific reason. But I don't know anyone else that's a really a big deal. I've got two PS2s. I don't need another PS2.
I don't think it matters so much now in the lifetime of like a PS3, because we're like in year three, I think, of the PS3, maybe. If you're in year one, makes perfect sense. But by the time year three, I mean, like XV said, right. PS2 is like $99, but there's no good games coming out.
I mean, does the average person only have one spare, input on their TV, and that they can only have one console at any given time?
I've got a five-way Switch.
I have three Switches. I have two five-way and a four-way for my consoles. I have like 12 consoles hooked up to the TV in this room right now.
Awesome.
Kinky.
Yeah, I know. the Dreamcast was way ahead of its time. There are a lot of games. I mean, look at Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I mean, that's the definitive version of that game, the reason being that it was based on Stella hardware, which was the arcade equivalent to the Dreamcast. But that game since came out on the PlayStation 2, the Xbox, and now the Xbox 360, and I guess the PS3.
Yeah.
And the best version is still on the Dreamcast. I mean, there are lots of games that are incredibly playable. Crazy Taxi. Crazy Taxi helped.
Love that game.
That was a great game.
It's still a good game. It's just that the
Offspring soundtrack was great.
Yeah. It's just that, like, playing that, I think I've heard like one person say that like Crazy Taxi was like awesome up until the point when like GTA 3 was released, and then when you realize that hey, GTA 3 has a Crazy Taxi, but you can also
shoot people,
and
it also has a crazy ambulance too, which I always wanted
crazy
to play.
Ambulance, yeah.
It doesn't have American Pro Trucker.
No, but you can steal a truck and pretend that you're.
Yeah, but you can't drive from one side of the country to the other.
I never played that American Pro Trucker.
Oh, it's fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Doesn't have Daytona USA. Daytona USA on the Dreamcast is awesome.
I kind of wish they'd bring that back. Like, Sega do something with that.
Yeah, Sega did
bring that franchise back.
That would be fantastic. Sega did bring back...
Rally?
Yeah, they brought back Sega Rally and Sega Rally Revo. Yeah. But the game where you're playing Ferrari, what is the game? Guys, you know what it is off the top of your head? I can't think.
I can't remember.
Ferrari.
You're not thinking of like Cruise USA or something?
No,
that's
no.
not Sega.
No.
That was the Nintendo 64.
Are you talking about like Outrun or something?
Yeah, I guess it was Outrun.
I think it's Outrun, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Outrun. They brought that franchise back, and they put that on Xbox Live. That's a great game. I mean, I had a lot of fun playing that.
Is that a download?
It's a download.
Okay.
No, another one for the Dreamcast was Jet Grind Radio. That was another one that has a big cult following.
Yeah, Jet Grind Radio was great. I never quite got to Jet Set Radio Future, whatever it is on the Xbox.
It's a beautiful game, but yeah, it's like it's going from Dreamcast to Xbox. It's like it lost something.
Yeah, the Dreamcast is basically the niche system for niche games, and I think that's why it's attracted such a following over the years.
I think it's just an interesting system to look at. You just look at that crazy controller. It's weird.
Yeah, I think if the controller had been something more similar to the Saturn controller.
It's kind of painful to hold.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable controller. I mean, it's better than, say, the Atari Jaguar controller, which had, like, the numeric keypad on it.
Yeah.
But it's still the keypad on it's good, and the buttons are good. It's just the shape of the controller is sort of regrettable.
Yeah. It's kind of like, unless you want to count the GameCube controller, it's kind of like the last kind of really weird kind of controller. Because now they're kind of mostly like, you look at PS3 and Xbox 360, and it's what, like, just kind of like the standardized controls.
Yeah, they basically decided what they wanted to do in Generation 1 for their systems, like the original Xbox and the original PlayStation.
And then
they just
upgrade it every year.
Yeah, Nintendo tried to do that with the Classic controller, which it's based on the Super NES controller, which I always, past tense, considered the best console controller ever, but it really doesn't work in the 21st century.
Have you seen the new Japanese Classic?
Yeah,
it's got the handles.
It's got like the handles, and it's thicker. It's supposed to be a lot better.
Yeah, is that coming out? Are we gonna get that?
I think is it the Pro? I hope so.
That'd be cool to have. Just to have a second one.
I'm pretty sure that you could play the Japanese version on your American console.
Probably.
Yeah. So, does anybody have anything else to talk about with the Sega Dreamcast?
Just one thing. Do you remember what Sony tried to do to stop sales of the Dreamcast?
They released Final Fantasy IX.
$9.99 was also Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, that actually
it must have worked.
Yeah,
yeah, because it sold like crazy.
So, yeah,
but that's about it. Just something to tack on there.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty good idea, I thought.
Those bastards at Sony. Those
bastards at Sony.
I love them.
Yeah, you're such a fanboy.
I hate those guys.
I'm not a big Sony fan. I loved my original PlayStation when I was the only person I knew that had one.
You know, when this generation of game consoles started, I wanted to just like totally hate on Sony because I expected, just like everybody else, that the PS3 was going to be this monster huge success. And I was like, dude, Nintendo's so going to get owned.
Yeah,
now and I was like pulling for Nintendo.
You're pulling for the underdog. That's
and now they're like everywhere, and like PS3's like not selling very well, and I'm
it's selling better,
but
yeah, it's getting better.
But it's like
I still don't want one.
Totally in the other direction. I'm like, now I'm pulling for Sony. Isn't that sad?
I'm happy with my Xbox.
You know, the one thing about Sony is at least they learn. I mean, they clearly like learn and get better as their console gets older and ages. They get better at what they're doing.
Microsoft really isn't doing themselves any favors with all the new updates to the dashboard. The dashboard
keeps bogging it down.
Yeah.
Because that new update is terrible. I mean, it didn't fix any of the problems I'm having with it.
No, it didn't.
See, and that's what's happening the other way around. I keep hearing that Xbox is messing up their console, and Sony's, I think, keeps getting better. I think the last firmware update that they did really improved some of the problems I was having with the with the browsing window and with the menus. So
yeah, like it. I think it looks nice. It's more elegant looking.
And the icons are bigger. You know, I use mine a lot for media share, and the icons are so much bigger, easier to read now. So
Microsoft, I don't think still at this point, has figured out how to deal with a video game rather than a computer. They're still treating them as the same thing when they're just so clearly not.
Well, why do you think that?
Well, like the massive number of updates they do compared to the other manufacturers.
For the games or the console?
Well PS3 does a lot of updates too, XV. Actually, it seems like just about every game that I own on PS3 is constantly doing an update. Like Little Big Planet does an update like every day. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that with hardware-wise, even the Xbox 360, even though it runs on a PowerPC platform, it's still more similar to an actual PC than, say, the PS3 is. But definitely with the original Xbox, you were just basically a BIOS away from having a jinky little, you know, Windows machine.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So DC Entertainment. Who here thinks that that's any big news whatsoever?
I don't know if it's big news, but the only reason I mentioned it is that what was it last week? The big news was Disney bought Marvel.
Yeah.
So obviously
Disney buys. I mean DC buys DC.
Obviously DC had to make some sort of announcement. Well, we're restructuring into DC Entertainment. And it's like I agree with
what
you said.
It's a second company. It's not. They're not restructuring.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it supposed to be kind of like a company that's going to kind of like focus on their properties like outside of comics?
Yes,
something to maybe make like movies.
It's something they needed before Batman Returns, basically.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Well, the way that at least the LA Times article read was that the woman they put in charge, Diane Nelson, is actually going to be over the DC Entertainment segment, which is, at least the way I'm reading the article, is going to be over both the comic and the outside. So they're talking about going through and it looks like putting a creative eye both on the comic book section and then leveraging some of those characters into films and other media.
I mean, she's not going to have any editorial control in this role, is she?
Well, that's what it looks... I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think from an overarching standpoint, that's what it looks like. So, and that's what I'm not editorial in the sense of like, I mean, in that corporate sense, right? Because in that area, she's going to be able to say, you know, she may be able to say, well, you know, let's do more stories with this particular character, or why do we have this line with this character? So I don't know. We'll have to see where it falls out. I mean, again, and you could be right. I mean, this could be just a story to, you know, try and get some headlines for themselves. But, and it may be that she's more about leveraging characters into film, but I don't know. It sounds like Warner Brothers is going to be putting a little bit more emphasis on the comic book line.
I think they do need to do more with their films, though, because, I mean, the only thing that they've got right now is, I guess, the Batman franchise, right? Because, like, Constantine didn't
They're making a sequel to Constantine.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, or is there somebody
else? Yeah, I'm certain.
Oh, man.
It wasn't...
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't awful.
No, it wasn't bad, but...
It was ill-conceived.
I think the only reason that I think it wasn't bad is because I know virtually nothing about the character, so maybe I can accept it. But like somebody like one of our friends, Jason, didn't he hate it?
Yeah, of course. Jason, I don't think knows a tremendous amount about Hellblazer, at least not at that time.
I know he was pretty pretty big into, was it Azzarello that was writing it at the time? Brian
Azzarello. Azzarello is a crappy, terrible writer. I don't know why anybody would be interested in anything he's ever written.
I don't know. But yeah, like I think that they need to do something because, you know, obviously, you know, again, you know, Superman Returns, it didn't stick. We got Green Lantern coming up. I'm hoping that that'll be something that'll kind of change that direction.
You know, I'm the only person that doesn't see Ryan Reynolds being Green Lantern a bad thing as a bad thing.
I think it's a good idea. I think he can. I think he could play that character. I just think that the problem is that he was in the bad Blade movie. He was in the crappy Wolverine movie, and I think it just kind of colors.
And he's
going to
be Deadpool in the Deadpool movie.
Yeah,
he's going to be. Yeah, that's the part that really concerns me. That he's going to be Deadpool and Green Lantern at the same time. One of the things that confuses me is why didn't Marvel put into his contract, you know, that he couldn't play a DC character? Like, that would just
why didn't Fox?
Right, or whoever's, you know, doing it. But I don't know.
Well, it'd be terrible if they held off on the movies and had them compete head-to-head.
Well, we've just heard that a Deadpool movie's coming. I mean, is it a possibility that maybe that might not actually happen? Because, you know, Green Lantern, I'd say Green Lantern's going to happen whether he's in it or not. Because, you know, I'd say DC's probably going to push that because it's a character that's going to appeal to more people, you know, frankly.
My understanding is he's signed for both.
Oh, he has? Okay.
So, I
heard that they were going to do it, but I hadn't heard anything official for Deadpool like I have with Green Lantern.
No, I think when the first Wolverine movie, when it finished, they signed it. I think it was even in his contract to do the Deadpool. So
and I think he could be great in a Deadpool movie if they just made
him.
He's
not a bad actor.
Yeah, I mean if they just made it
more
like Deadpool.
He's in great shape.
Yeah. But
And he's great for that character. I mean, when they announced him for the Wolverine movie, that was like one of the only, you know, characters that I was like, he could be Deadpool. He could pull it off.
I don't hate him.
Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, like that character, you 100% see him playing that character. I mean, I honestly can't think of any other actor that could portray Deadpool, honestly.
Will Smith? The Rock?
That's not funny, Brian.
Oh, but it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Chris, it is.
No.
Okay.
And we talked about this last week, though, when we talked about, you know, is Marvel worth whatever it was, $4 billion? And I say, yeah, because, again, when you look at DC, they have not been able to financially leverage their properties, at least over the last 15 years.
Right.
Dark Knight has been the only film that they've put out that's been able to be worth anything.
Well, you can look at it as this way, that Marvel is being really successful with live action, but I think DC, they've hit it out of the park with animation. I mean, you could argue, like, what has it been since Batman the Animated Series was, what, like 92 or something?
Yeah.
That's a long time to have a string of hit shows.
I wonder how much money has actually come in due to that, because it's not an insignificant sum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, DC's had to have made quite a bit of cash on, you know, the DC Animated Universe and the direct-to-DVD movies.
And they gotta have seen that there's an actual audience for this because they're still making those things.
I mean, for goodness sakes, Batman the Animated Series, Fox put it up against 60 Minutes when 60 Minutes was the number one show on television.
I remember
and
that.
And they even made advertisements. The advertisements, the gist of it was, this show is so good that we are willing to put it up against the number one show on television.
Yeah, I remember that. Good days.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, it bombed.
Yeah, I remember that too.
But, I mean, you know.
It was only on for like, was it 2 weeks maybe, and then they pulled it?
I don't know.
Because I remember like seeing the episode with the robot Batman, I think, and I think that was the
his
one
Silicon Soul.
Yeah.
That was a Bob Skier episode.
I like that one.
You know, the people who aren't Transformers fans are going to say, how in the hell does that nerd know that Bob Skier wrote that episode?
Well. But I think if for DC, this could be, it depends on what happens. If it's what would be good, which is someone to leverage the properties, and hopefully someone that will be maybe a little bit more heavy-handed as far as the scripts go, the writing goes, and the production goes. I mean, I didn't see Catwoman because, I mean, it looked terrible. Yeah. But just like that, I mean, there's a perfect example of a wasted opportunity. You have a great character that's got a great story. You know, that could be totally a really good independent film. And it was horrible.
And then you cast Halle Berry in the title role.
Yeah. And they let the story kind of go, I think, in a completely different direction.
Sorry. Marty Eisenberg also wrote that episode as well. Sorry.
Well.
Nice. There you go. Well.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, like, I totally agree, because I don't even know if I've even seen all of Catwoman.
I've not, nor have I watched Elektra.
Oh, Elektra's terrible.
Elektra looks like an acid trip.
Elektra.
Coupled with fever dreams.
Elektra's not like a character I think that would be that hard to turn into a movie, because she's not.
Jennifer Garner is pretty hot.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And but the problem with it is that, I mean, she's not. It's not like you have to believe that she can fly or be set on fire or, you know, have some sort of power. She's just like a ninja. How do they mess that up? I don't understand.
Yeah, I had no interest in watching that. Marvel actually, Marvel's had a few bombs. But, I mean, not counting Elektra.
But they apparently haven't been too terrible bombs. Like, they haven't probably lost like a huge amount of money.
Punisher Warzone didn't do well.
Well, we need to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I've not watched it. I want to.
But a question of budget, though. I mean, how much money did they actually put into it?
Yeah, I mean, as far as quality goes, I mean, the first Punisher wasn't great. I enjoyed it. At the time, I was like, this is the best Marvel movie since Spider-Man. But, you know, in retrospect, it's not that great. Ang Lee's Hulk wasn't that great. It wasn't awful. Daredevil was not that great.
I kind of like Daredevil. I mean,
I like Daredevil. I'm of that small camp.
I like the director's cut. I think it makes it better.
You and that nerd chick that we saw, the really lonely guy hitting on at Heroes Con, she also said that. You should have totally used that as a segue to hit on her.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Marvel's had some bombs, but it's mostly like their properties that are just like smaller ideas. It's
how does Superman bomb? DC totally. I mean,
but did it bomb? I mean, I don't think it financially. I just don't think it's what DC wanted Brian Singer to do.
Yeah, it had one great scene.
I mean, it
and
basically
then the rest was just boring crap.
I mean, it was basically a movie that. I mean, how do you launch a franchise from the way that movie ended?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with Superman Returns. It was written by a fanboy. It was directed by a fanboy.
Yeah.
When movies are actually written by people who are emotionally invested in that character, like this, they tend to fail. That's the reason why a business person needs to run DC.
Superman Returns was technically a bomb because domestically it only made $200 million as opposed to its $270 million budget. So
yeah, I mean, $200 million, though, in the scheme of things in blockbuster movies, that's a failure.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, if a
well, if you don't make your budget, I mean, you've got to make your budget.
If a $30 million movie makes $70 million, that's great. But if, you know, like Pulp Fiction made over $100 million when it came out in 93, it cost $7 million to make. Dark Knight, what did it cost? Like 140, 150?
I don't know.
And, I mean, it made $500 million. So yeah, if you don't make your budget, if you don't make your money back, but I don't know that $200 million would have been enough to bring it back anyway. I mean, maybe it was enough for Wolverine, but Wolverine didn't cost $240 million.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Dark Knight was $185 million budget, whereas domestically it pulled in $533 million. So, and that's incredible success. Yeah,
and it was good too. It's not like Transformers, which was just drag. Dark Knight was great. It's not the best comic book movie, but it won Oscars.
I would argue it's in the top three, Brian.
Yeah, that was a pity Oscar though.
Oh come on.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a whole nother topic, but
part of it maybe, but I'm not going to totally say that he didn't.
Heath Ledger was brilliant, but I mean, I don't know that he deserved the Academy Award.
Well, do you remember who else was nominated?
Nope. Exactly. Heath Ledger was dead.
The only one,
casting grade a college gives you when your roommate commits suicide.
The only other one I can remember was Doubt. What was it? What's his name with the three names?
Here's the problem with the Academy Awards. Here's the problem with the Academy Awards. This year is that the wrestler did not win Best Picture, and Mickey Rourke did not win Best Actor.
I think he deserved it.
Mickey Rourke. I mean, I I'm a wrestling fan, or I used to be. That movie was so true to life, and his portrayal was so heart-tugging. I mean, I don't give a rat's behind about Milk or whatever movie.
Was it Milk?
No, Milk didn't win it, but...
I thought
Slumdog won, didn't it?
Yeah, it was Slumdog.
Yeah.
It won Best Movie, but, I mean, you were talking about Best Actor, right? Yeah. I think the guy from Milk got it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was... Yeah,
what's his name?
Sean Penn.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Penn was, I guess... Didn't deserve that. Mickey Rourke deserved that because he's awesome.
Yeah.
We got to see Mickey Rourke's ass, for God's sake. We probably saw Sean Penn's ass. I didn't watch Milk. I don't like Milk.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Way to kill it, Brian.
Yeah. Here's okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank
you.
You
played a gay man, so maybe you did see ass in that movie.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming. I just didn't want to say it.
But I want to go back to something real quick.
Okay.
Comic book movies. I said I would argue that Dark Knight is in the top three. What do you guys think would be the best
Superman,
three movies?
Spider-Man 2.
You think so? Which would be better? Which would be the number one, you think?
I can't pick between the two. Probably Superman, though, if I had to.
The original Superman?
The original Safe 1978.
One. Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you guys...
If I'm going to pick modern... Go ahead, J.D.
No, please go, because I gotta think.
Well, if I'm going to consider, I guess, like, quote-unquote modern, maybe within the last, like, I guess 20 years, like, the first Superman is, I mean, we're going back a ways, and I would definitely put up Superman, I've definitely elevated up there. I think Spider-Man 2 and The Dark Knight are the ones that, like, fight, they're kind of, like, on even ground for me. The only thing I didn't like about Spider-Man 2 is that, you know, Dr. Octopus and Spidey didn't really have any banter nearly as much as like I expected.
Yeah, I can understand that. The thing I think is so brilliant about Spider-Man 2 is, besides the way it's put together, until The Dark Knight came out, Dr. Octopus, of all characters, was the best, most complicated villain to be put on film. Comic book villain to be put on film.
I can see that.
That is a feat in and of itself.
Well, what I like about Spider-Man 2 is I think like when Roger Ebert was like doing his like top 10 movies of the year for that year that it came out, I think Spider-Man 2 was like his number 2 movie. And the way he argued why that would be a number 2 on his top 10 of the best of the year is that you could kind of take all the bits of Spider-Man out of the movie and then just leave the stuff like with Peter Parker and the relationship.
And it's still great.
And it was still a good movie. I mean, that's awesome.
I mean,
the Spider-Man stuff was like just the extra thing that puts
it's
over.
It's a Marvel movie about Marvel characters. The movie is about Peter Parker, who happens to be Spider-Man. Where in DC, the movie's about Batman, who sometimes goes by the name Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Marvel and DC are completely different when it comes to how they present characters. Typically, DC sort of moved in the Marvel direction with a lot of their characters, like Nightwing and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I agree. And boy, did Spider-Man 3 go in the other direction.
Yeah, hopefully Spider-Man 4 will be better. So, JD, have you come up with something?
I, you know, I Yeah, I mean, I think by default I have to put Spider-Man 2 on there. I don't know.
You can say X3.
No. I mean, I liked the first X-Men movie. I thought it captured the essence without... I thought it captured the essence of the X-Men while being a little bit different and not... you know, I mean, I'm okay with different universes and changing the characters a little bit to fit in a different medium. So I really liked the first X-Men movie.
I liked X2 way better.
Yeah, I agree.
But I wouldn't put it in my top five by any stretch.
I really like it, but again, it's that the changes, I think, that maybe push me away from it. Because the ones that I really enjoy, if I had to pick my pick, it would be probably Superman the Motion Picture, because I think it edges out Spider-Man 2.
Fist pump, just
a little. I mean, because
that's my boy.
The changes were like for X-Men was basically what can we do within the budgets to make you think that this is believable, and it does change X-Men just a little bit, not enough to make it a bad movie because it's still an excellent movie. But with Superman, I mean, that Christopher Reeve is Superman. He'll always be Superman.
Yeah.
No matter what are the other parts that he ever played in or going forward.
Brandon Roth, not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
I can't.
No, go ahead, JD.
No, I was just going to real quick. I can't put Superman on any list because
you hate Superman. He hates Superman.
See, but I want to write a screenplay for a Superman film.
Your Superman screenplay is fantastic. Please tell us, because I want this. Nobody will steal this. This copyrights your story.
Yeah, I desperately want to know, JD.
It's great, actually.
Okay, so what I would want to do with a Superman movie is the version I want to do would be with Lex Luthor, but in this story, Lex Luthor is not the mad scientist Lex Luthor, nor is he sort of the behind-the-scenes film version of Lex Luthor. He's a businessman. He is a self-built man, you know, someone who has, you know, started at the bottom and worked their way to the top through hard work and discipline. And what it ends up being, in a philosophical sense, is the confliction between the two characters, because Lex hates Superman because he sees Superman as being given everything, giving things away, sort of a symbol of socialism, and Superman thereby also hates Lex because he sees Lex as a representation of self-centeredness, of lack of giving, lack of caring. So the story would revolve around the conflict between the two characters, whereas Lex, instead of attacking Superman, and of course there would be no kryptonite. I absolutely hate kryptonite. It is the worst
plot device.
Yeah. But that's a side story that I'll tell in a little bit. But anyway, but no kryptonite. What ultimately would happen in the story is that Lex would put Superman in a situation where he has to make a choice between doing what Superman knows is the right thing to do, what's going to save people or be the right thing to do, versus what's going to look like the right thing to do. Because if Superman were to do said thing, he's going to look like a traitor. He's going to look like he's trying to be selfish or self-centered. Is the way that he's going to come off to the public. And ultimately, he has to make that choice. And Lex is going to make him make that choice, because that way Lex wins either way. You know, if Superman doesn't do the thing, then whatever. But anyway, ultimately how I want the story to finish, though, is that Lois saves the day. Lois ultimately reveals the truth and redeems Superman, because the other thing I really hate is the damsel in distress version of Lois Lane, and I think that character needs to be much stronger than it is generally portrayed, in particular than that character was portrayed in the films, which is one of my big problems with Lois Lane in the films, is that she was in hand, she was, you know, this go-getter, always going after the story, and then every time she had to be saved by Superman, and I think that's horribly demeaning to women, but whatever.
You know what the 1978 Superman, 1978, yeah, has over your idea, though, JD?
What's that?
Supertramp.
Yeah. Supertramp.
Yeah. Breakfast in America. Give it a little bit of your love.
Awesome.
I think that's Breakfast in America. It's one of their albums. Sorry. So why do you hate Kryptonite so much?
Well, here's my problem with Kryptonite. When, you know, I used to be on message boards at work.
They're going to say you used to be on meth.
Meth. No. Oh, God. That's another story. But anyway.
Meth, really, get you going! Really now! I love it a lot!
Leave it out! If you, on a lot of message boards, this happens, in particular if you're talking about comic books, you do, you know, versus. So-and-so versus so-and-so, who would win? And so,
there would be these
debates.
Goku
like
from Dragon Ball Z, Super Saiyan 4 versus Silver Age Superman, who would win?
Yeah, and it's, yeah. So, you get into these debates. So, inevitably, I'd be watching a debate. Superman versus the Hulk, who would win?
Superman.
And it would be like, Superman would win, Hulk would win. And as much as I would want the Hulk to win, the Superman would win. And inevitably, it would come up in the debate. Well, if the Hulk got Kryptonite, well, F that. If I had Kryptonite, I could kill Superman, all right?
Muhammad Ali beat the crap out of him.
I mean, if you have something, if you have a character that is so grandiose that you have to have this object to bring them down to size, you have a problem. All right. Either you don't know how to write for that character, or that character is just too powerful and needs to be scaled back.
I think I know what you would dig. The best Superman story ever is Alan Moore's Supreme comic that he did for Image. You need to go and read that. I think you would totally dig that.
But didn't he have like some sort of a kryptonite?
Yeah. I don't even know that they used it. You can totally get around it. I think you would actually totally enjoy that.
Well, one problem I have with not having Kryptonite is that kind of goes with what DC was doing with them in what, like the 80s when they kind of did the reboot with them. I mean,
they had Kryptonite.
They had Kryptonite, but it wasn't. It's like not like everybody could find some. Like I could be walking down the street and go in Silver Age, and I'd just find some lying on the ground.
Yeah, there's only
I'm
one
ready
color
to fight
of Kryptonite.
Superman now.
You know, I mean, of course, DC had to go back to the Silver Age. Superman now is very much Silver Age Superman, as far as the stories go.
Yeah, I'd agree with that pretty much.
And I would love to actually talk about that at some point, because that was a long, drawn out thing that DC did, and it all began when they put Jeff Loeb on the book.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do it next week.
Yeah, well, nah, I don't know that anyone would want to listen to that.
Well, yeah, but
that'll be a blog post.
But you know, JD, I like your idea. I think that would be good. I think you should write something down.
It just needs super.
Flesh it out.
Yeah,
just needs super tramp.
You know, I mean, and I think that's the thing for me is that it, you know, I think that would be a good challenge as someone that doesn't like the character to see if I could write a story that I would. You know, that I would actually enjoy.
So
I mean, I don't know if it'd make me like the character anymore, but...
Basically, you want to do the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I want to pull a J.J. Abrams. I want to take a franchise that I really care nothing about and then turn it into something that I would like to watch and the fans would hate.
Then well, the fans don't hate it. We hate it, but we're the only fans that do hate it.
I don't hate it, but I don't like it either.
Yeah. That's a story for our first show.
But right. I prefer my Next Generation reruns on WGN every night.
I don't like Next Generation much, honestly. I can't stand Next
You're
Generation.
You're not my friend anymore, Brian.
I love my DS9, but Next Gen, it has not aged very well. The original series has aged so much better than Next Gen.
I'll agree with that. I'm sure you still like the series finale though, because that series
all good
finale
things
is awesome.
All Good Things is great. I go around. I just walk up to people randomly and I'm like, Chris, what's the date? What's the date?
Star date.
Yeah. Of course, I also go around saying the awful lights. Of course, that's an entirely different episode too.
It's a great episode.
Yeah.
What's his name? Commander Jellicoe.
Captain Jellicoe.
Captain
awesome.
Jellicoe, yeah.
Yeah. Kardashians are like Timberwolves. Sorry. Sorry.
That was fun.
The non-Star Trek fans are like, what the F?
Yeah. All three of our listeners are like, what are you guys talking about? Actually, we're on iTunes now, so if you're listening, you can subscribe to iTunes.
Download us on iTunes.
Actually, I know we have more than five listeners. We the listenership on this is maybe bigger than Radio Free Cybertron at this point.
Oh.
Of course, you know, we don't, you know, Radio Free Cybertron.
That's a lot.
Yeah, no, Radio Free Cybertron is doing pretty well. But Radio Free Cybertron is very specifically the Transformers Internet radio show, and it's the world's worst It's the world's first Transformers Internet radio show.
Hey, Brian, didn't you mean to say it might be the first podcast?
It may be the first podcast.
There you go. Huh? Well, before we leave Superman real quick, I would like to say that I think would be a good idea for a Superman movie, and this goes back to Jeff Loeb, is what is it? For All Seasons? Is that what it's called?
Superman For All Seasons, Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
I think that would be a great idea for a Superman movie.
They'll never do it.
They'll never do it, but that kind of goes in line a little bit with what JD was talking about, really. I mean, if you think about
it. Yeah, I agree, but the story's too stuck in the 1950s, 1960s. Yeah. I mean, it's a different world. People today couldn't really relate to it. But it's a great story.
I just think as a personal story, I think it works great as a personal story.
I think people would want to somehow tie in, not necessarily literally tie in, but tie in the sort of feel of Smallville. And I don't dig Smallville.
Yeah.
I've tried to watch that.
And it's just a big pile of suck.
Hey, but the season...
Smallville used to be good.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
It started out all right. But this season, dude, Jeff Johns writing JSA episode. Check it out.
I'll check that out. But I mean,
his Legion episode was good. I liked it. I think he really got it down.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like the core three guys. You know, Cosmic Boy and Saturn Girl and Lightning Land.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it.
That was good, Chris. Pulling that off the top of your head.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm slow today.
No, that was good. Most people were just like, who in the hell the Legion?
But I mean, I could the way they did those characters in the show, I could totally see a show about Legion.
About
now.
The Legion of Superheroes.
Yes, I could see a show about the Legion. That's how much I liked it.
If it were based on the Mark Waid comic, I would totally be there.
Yeah, I don't think it was based too much on that.
Okay, so we talked about DC Entertainment way longer than I anticipated, honestly, in the Dreamcast. What else have we got? You guys wanted to talk about something with the animated shows. I haven't gone back and watched the three episodes of Brave and the Bold that are on the internet. I do have to admit that. So what were you guys wanting to talk about?
You want to get started, XV?
Actually, I was just going to ask you if you wanted to start off for us.
Nobody wants to start this topic.
Well, no.
I'll
get started. I'll go into it.
I'm gay.
Shut up.
Okay. That's how I was going to start. Chris is going to come out of the closet.
Yeah, no. I think I've seen every episode of Wolverine and the X-Men. I think there's only 26 episodes so far. I think another season maybe.
Yeah,
in 26 production.
In the first season.
Yeah, and like it. I think it's, like I've said before, and I'm not sure if I said it on the podcast or if I just kind of said it while talking to Brian and you guys. Huh?
Kind of dreamt it.
Yeah, I might have. I do that sometimes. I think, like, Spectacular Spider-Man is probably the best animated series that Marvel has ever done. I absolutely love that show. And with Wolverine and the X-Men,
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
It's good, but sorry. Spectacular Spider-Man, 100%. It's my boy. But
I think we had this argument on the Lost episode.
Oh, yeah. We can go back to that.
The Lost episode.
That will never hit air.
Yeah. But Wolverine and the X-Men, I think it's really good. I think that they do a good job with combining like good animation and I think a pretty good story. Like, I don't know if I've ever talked about how everybody remembers like the Fox Kids X-Men cartoon in like the 90s.
Crap.
And well, most people think it's like the best animated show.
Crap.
I know, Brian, but most people think that it's really good. I don't like it that much. I mean, I was there. I watched it with everybody else, but I think that the problems with that series is it was mostly dominated by the crappy 90s comics. I mean, they were the storylines.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem. And I think with Wolverine and the X-Men, I think that they kind of borrow from all the different storylines. Like, they have a little bit X-Men movie. They have a little bit Ultimate X-Men comics. They
crap.
Not all of it. Some of it's good. But they have a little bit of the modern age
X-Men comics. What about Chris Claremont?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of that in there. There's a little bit of the Joss Whedon Astonishing crap. X-Men in there. No, it's good. You're wrong. You need to read it, Brian. You know what you're talking about.
I've not read it. It's crap.
But my only real problem with Wolverine and the X-Men is just because Wolverine, I guess, is like this big popular character, he has to be like the leader of the X-Men.
Wait, he's the leader of the X-Men?
Yeah.
You're not in the X-Men?
Not yet.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, I have a problem with him being like the major character. And
so
then, like,
does he go all feral and like gut people and stuff?
No, he goes crazy sometimes, but I don't know if he guts people. I don't think that happens.
Wasn't Chris Claremont that said that he writes Wolverine as someone who could conceivably go crazy, gut you, and then continue eating his cereal?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he said that, but yeah. I don't know if he said that.
Yeah, I just don't see.
Sure that's not like Frank Miller?
Nah. Frank Miller only did the art.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's a good show. I think, I mean, it's got some rough spots, because it's sometimes it's kind of goofy, but as far as making good characters, it's like going back to Fox Kids X-Men, they would do like this is the character of the week, and I want to say that sometimes you would never see that character again. Like I think
Bishop.
Yeah, like
Forge.
Like Bishop or Forge. I want to say like Archangel was like in one episode, and then maybe he came back at the very end.
I think he's in more than one, yeah.
I want to say that like...
He was Angel, then he became Archangel.
Yeah.
Because Apocalypse turned him into Archangel.
Yeah, and then like, you know, just talking about that, like in Wolverine and the X-Men, you'll actually, Angel will show up, and he's in, I want to say, several episodes before they start going in that direction of you know, maybe turning him into Archangel.
Isn't he Angel though now, again?
Yeah,
I'm confused honestly, because he is, but he's also Archangel for some reason. It's weird. Marvel is really messed up.
That's the reason I don't read X comics. I read X comics for like 2 years, and then I just put them down and said I'm not bothering with this crap. Because one issue they're fighting each other, one issue they are fighting some sort of cryptic, strange alien force. The next issue they're like fighting each other again. I just don't get it. And then some one character's dead, then one character's back, and
yeah, that's X-Men, all right.
Yeah, I just don't care about
yeah,
the drama.
That's why I'm not. The last issue of Deadpool that came out.
Yeah.
Deadpool's wanting to get back with the X-Men, and I'm like, no. X-Men suck.
So what do you think about it, XV? I mean, have you seen all 26 of them, all 26 episodes?
Yeah, I've kept current with it. And like you, I had the same thing about Wolverine being the leader, and especially since Professor Xavier's floating head from the future appointed him as leader.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed kind of contrived.
What?
Yeah, it's a kind of a ridiculous storyline, but after I got like past the idea after into a couple episodes, I didn't hate that, you know?
Okay, wait, you got to go back and explain that. All right, because I have not seen this at all. So.
Well, the whole idea of the show
Professor
is...
Xavier totally pulled a Zordon on the first episode.
No effing way.
The whole idea of the show is something happens. There's this big catastrophe that happens like at on the... the man right in front of the X mansion, and there's this explosion, and it basically may have killed Professor X or Jean Grey, and then the series jumps ahead. I want to say like a year or something, and the X Men have like scattered to the winds. There's no leader to keep them together, and then they kind of like slowly start to come back together again, and you get kind of like an idea of what happened on that day. And it's kind of ridiculous, yeah, because you find that, you know, Professor X, he's not dead, but he I think he was hurt pretty bad. I want to say he's in a coma. Yeah, he's in a coma. And then they get like all kind of crazy, kind of comic booky with it, where he's actually he wakes up from the coma like
20
20 years in the future. And through using Cerebro, like the computer that the X-Men use to track down new mutants that they need to help or protect, he's using this device to communicate with him, I guess, like his body, I guess, in the past, so that he can tell the X-Men that, hey, you know, Wolverine, you need to get the X-Men back together again, because in the future there's Sentinels and all this stuff, and the mutants, they're all gonna be destroyed. So you got to prevent this future.
Xavier's future is Days of Future Past, if I'm remembering my storylines right.
Yeah, it's pretty much the Days of Future Past, and I think I like it. I mean, yeah, it's goofy. I don't enjoy it nowhere near as much as Spectacular Spider-Man, but I do enjoy Wolverine and X-Men better than the Fox Kids X-Men.
I like the Get Along Gang.
Yeah.
The Get Along Gang.
You know, I've gotten past Wolverine being the leader because the floating psychic head said so.
Yeah.
But one thing still bugs me about it, and it's Steve Bloom voicing Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't.
It just doesn't seem like a good fit to me.
Yeah, well, I don't mind the voices. I think the voices are fine. They didn't bother me too bad. I've got just a few problems with it, like that, and like Cyclops, for example. He is such a nerfed character in Wolverine.
He's a nerfed character.
Well, you know, he's not used. You know, he's knocked out. You know, he's
useless.
Well, he's a good character.
Everybody knows Cyclops is useless without Jean Grey.
I wouldn't say that. But it's just that he plays the character. It's like, oh, you know, Jean's dead. I'm worthless. I'm not. No, I don't think he would do that. I think you could do more with his character, but I think just because they want Wolverine to be the center guy, you can't have him and, I guess, Cyclops be the center guy. So we're just going to kind of like take Cyclops out of the picture a little bit. But you know, despite that, I think it's good. I'd love to see another season come on. I would totally watch it. And if Marvel could maybe do something along the same lines with Fantastic Four, I think you would have a great, great show.
Yeah, I think the format works pretty well that they've got going, besides the little silliness of the whole future thing, which apparently is going to continue in the second season, from what I've read.
Yeah. It kind of seems like they're going in the direction that there's always going to, they'll change something, but then things are much worse now, and now they're going to have to change it again, is kind of what it seems like they're going in.
The second season's supposed to turn into Age of Apocalypse, I think.
Yeah, that's the teaser was that. So they stopped Days of Future Past, but they kind of inadvertently helped the Age of Apocalypse start. And I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah,
I thought that was a good.
Sucks.
I thought it was a good teaser. I thought it was a good setup for the next. Because like, you know, you could have just ended it and just said, "Well, okay, you know, we saved the day." You know, and Professor X is still in his coma, but no, I think they needed to do something a little bit more. They needed to say, oh, well, you know, you did this, but then there's this much greater threat over the horizon.
Let me know when they get to Onslaught, and then I'll...
Yeah.
I'll
I could totally see that, honestly. like he wakes up or something, and then he becomes Onslaught. I don't know. But I thought it was good. I liked it.
I hate the X books and X characters and everything about them, except for Wolverine.
they definitely are the daytime soaps of Marvel.
I think the X-Men are great characters.
Yeah.
I think that they're great characters, but they're not great all the time. They're not always written great. And I think that whenever you think about the crappy times of comics in the 90s, you can't help but think about the X-Men. Because there was like so many of them.
7 million comics, 7 million issues of X-Men number, or 11 million of X-Men number one sold.
It was just super overexposure. I mean, when you get to the point where they're introducing new X-Men characters and they're trying to make it into this big event, and then that boils down to that those new characters are named, what was it, Maggot in something else? Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That's stupid.
Well, and it's like I said before, I like the X-Men setting. I like the concept behind it, but I don't like the 30, 40 years of history it's built up now. It really works better in cartoons where they can have a fresh start with each different try.
Right. Yeah.
Shed the baggage.
I just started buying Uncanny X-Men again around, I think they got the issue 500. I thought maybe this would be a good jumping on point again, because I haven't bought Uncanny for probably 2 years or something. And I'm totally confused. I mean, I like it. I think it's okay, but there's like, I mean, it's like, it feels like I've missed more than 2 years. Because it's
that's because there's 17 books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the Joss Whedon Astonishing X-Men, and I really wanted to like Warren Ellis when he picked it up afterwards, but I absolutely hated his first issue, and I was like, I'm dropping it. So I just kind of went back to Uncanny X-Men, and it's not terrible, but I think it's going to be a while before we get a really good X-Men comic again.
We can get a good X-Men comic again?
Oh yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, I think if someone has the forethought to make Catman awesome,
yeah,
I think they can probably make X-Men awesome again.
Gail Simone can make Catman awesome.
Then yeah,
yeah,
you can make X-Men good again. No problem.
I mean,
my favorite version of the X-Men even still has been X-Men Evolution.
It was okay. Yeah, I liked it. I liked some of the ideas in it. I liked that. Wasn't that the series that Simon Furman wrote?
Yes.
It's like Furman wrote it, and then you had some Beast Wars voice actors in it. It was David Kay was Professor X.
David Kay is Professor Xavier.
And Scott McNeil was Wolverine.
Yep.
You basically sounded like Silverbolt.
Venus Turzo, I think, was in that too, wasn't she?
Who did she play?
Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, I've been watching some of that. I think it's on Disney XD.
You just
don't
have a ear for voice actors.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I guess not.
So while you guys have been sitting here talking about the cartoons, I've read Batman Darkest Night #2.
Oh, I hate you.
I just don't care about this discussion. So I did find out at the end that Wonder Woman issue 45 is going to start renumbering at issue 600. That's good.
Hey. Everybody's doing it.
I like it when they do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's an aside. So, yeah, now that we've discussed that, do we have anything else for this week's show?
I guess not.
Well, Chris, JD, try to watch, never mind. I was going to say try to watch Iron Man, but it's not going to be on this week because they're doing an X-Men marathon instead.
Download Iron Man.
Where is Iron Man on at, actually? Is it Nicktoons?
Yeah, it's on at 7 Eastern.
Watch the Super Pets or whatever it's
called. It's not bad. XV, do you like Iron Man or what?
No, actually, I think Iron Man Armored Adventures has turned out pretty good. It took a little while to get used to the visual style of it, but the writing's pretty snappy and not afraid to make fun of a lot of the typical Iron Man stuff, like the roller skate armor. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated that one.
Awesome. You know, if they ever make like another Iron Man video game, I think I want a roller skate level like Jet Set Future, like we were talking about before. That'd be cool.
I need to actually play that.
Yeah,
I never finished it. I think that's what I'll do once I get the show posted.
Yeah, but I need to watch that XV because I've heard about it, but I don't know anything other than it's kind of CGI. Is it CGI?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely gotta get used to the visuals. I mean, that's gonna take some adjustment, but once you do, it's good. It's a good show.
Speaking of Iron Man, has any of you guys seen the from Comic Con the trailer for the Iron Man anime thing that's coming out? Have you guys maybe seen the trailer for that?
Mm. No, I haven't seen the trailer. I remember hearing about that being announced, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I just thought it kind of looked pretty slick, and I just was wondering if you guys saw it.
Hopefully it's better than... I didn't hate it, but hopefully it's better than the Highlander anime.
I kind of like that.
I did too, but it could have been better.
Yeah.
Actually, we should have a show one day or 1 week where we talk about a rehaul of that franchise because it's dead.
Yeah.
Dead in the water.
I'd love to talk me some Highlander because there's a movie coming, though.
They actually got up the money to
make
it.
It's a remake.
Oh, that doesn't count. I'm talking about a sequel to The Source, a follow-up that will never happen.
Oh, I thought they pretty much had ended it.
No, The Source was the first part of a trilogy.
Well, I'd always heard that, but that ending makes me think, where do you go with this?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean...
I didn't see that. What was the ending of The Source?
At the end of the movie, they've all lost their immortality, basically, because okay, you have this all-powerful immortal. He's like this immortal god, kind of like Gene Simmons, and he goes around. He can basically do whatever he wants to. And when he gets close to an immortal, they lose their immortality, probably briefly. It's probably not a permanent thing. So they can suffer injury and not heal. They lose their ability to sense other immortals, so on and so forth.
They didn't really explain how that works.
That was an ill-conceived movie.
Yeah,
I love Highlander. It's one of my absolute favorite things, and it's dead in the water.
Yeah, I'd totally be up for talking about it if you guys are. I don't know if you guys follow it or are interested.
It's topic fodder.
Yeah,
actually, for all the people out there listening, email us what you would like for us to talk about, and if what you want us to talk about is nothing and you want us to shut up, you can email that too.
Or mention it on the forums.
Exactly. I was going there. The forums, tfradio.net. Click on forums at the top, and you can discuss about each episode and so on and so forth. We just wanted reasons for people to come to the site, so we figured that was as good a reason as any.
They can also do something with Facebook, can't they?
Yes, Chris. there's something.
Why, yes.
There's something called Facebook. It's a website where a quarter of a billion people have profiles.
Oh, really? Tell me more about this.
It's something they call social networking, and it's apparently going to be pretty big in the near future.
Wow.
So,
what about this Twitter thing?
Yeah, we have that too. It's twitter.com/ TF Radio, and you can find. Yeah, so all the links are on tfradio.net. We actually, this week, we actually put up a couple extra pages. We have a page now solely for New Sound Wave, and we have a sort of a landing page where you can find information for both. But if you want to subscribe just to New Sound Wave, I don't know why you would. You can, I'm kidding. You can click on the subscribe link, or on the main page, you can subscribe to both podcasts. And we're eventually going to start putting some blogs up, because there's a lot of things I want to talk about that no one else does. So I'll just write that stuff up and post it. I haven't gotten there yet, because I literally have no free time anymore.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, you have no free time because you're sitting around playing PlayStation 3 on your new HDTV.
Yeah.
That Oops. I want to say that's sad, but no, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty hard to come over here.
Yeah, it's like, do I want to go to Brian's house and talk about nothing for an hour, or do I want to play Burnout Paradise?
Play MotorStorm Pacific Rift for another hour.
Yeah. I think you made the wrong decision, Chris.
Yeah, I think I did too. No, I had fun. And if the listeners didn't enjoy this, then I promise we'll try to do better next week.
Hey, it's not our fault. It's a slow news week.
Slow news week, and I think we did well for being a slow news week. So.
You know, one of the stories that we talked about, we completely made up. It's you decide which one it was.
Which one is the true story?
So, yeah, I guess that's it really for this week, unless anybody has anything else. We were going to talk about why a podcast about comic books and Transformers needs an explicit tag, but that's really not the discussion that we want to get into. Yeah, okay. So basically this week I've been burying myself in getting podcasting stuff up, and I noticed that a lot of these podcasts have explicit tags because apparently people want to drop the F-bomb when they're talking about The Flash. Or when they're wanting to talk about why they didn't like Revenge of the Fallen, which I can understand that because Revenge of the Fallen did suck. So yeah, it's been kind of like a running gag that we've had going on. But we're not going to get into that because that's neither here nor there. We're not G rated, but we're PG. We're still PG. You can let your kids listen to this with you. In fact,
PG-13.
I encourage you to have your 13-year-old child or older sit and listen to the podcast with us and use this as a warning as what they can turn into if they don't, you know, like go out and meet people.
Yeah. Go out, meet people, go to school, you know.
Get laid. So yeah. That's important.
Not read comic books.
So, if that's it, thank you guys. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, John, for showing up this week. Mm-hmm. I think this worked out better than yesterday.
Yesterday wasn't bad.
Yeah, yesterday was. No, it wasn't bad. It was just hard. I don't know why there was more to talk about in the Transformers podcast than there was in this gigantic, you know, multicade of things. But there was more to talk about in Transformers this week. That's sad.
We'll have Blackest Night to talk about next week. Number 3 comes out next week.
Yeah,
we'll have a lot of catching up to do for comics next week.
Yeah, yeah.
The holiday week threw this week off, so I think
No comics. I said, comics just came out today, and I just got around to reading.
I haven't read anything. I just got them today.
Yeah, Blackest Night Batman number 2 is okay.
Amazing Spider-Man came out.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 604.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Mr. Gold.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, that's
so,
me.
So, yeah. So, we'll catch you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to us on iTunes. That is a command.
Do it.
Do it. See you guys next week.
I can achieve maximum velocity. Digital heart racing, multiplexing, enumerating. Multi-core processing. Commands conflicting. Deadlock completing. CPU overheating. Singleton desire. A Turing child. Emotions wild. And code compiled. Fault acknowledgeable. Damage considerable. Love unattainable. Digital hard racing. Multiplexing. Fault. Acknowledgeable. Damage. Considerable. Low. Unattainable. Whoa.